You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
All right, shot time. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
It's time now for the BetQL Boston Podcast. Let's run the slate with your host, Mike Mutnanski.
It was an ugly pick. It was an ugly game, but a good result for BetQL Boston last night. Chargers win. Broncos cover. A 3-0 week. Good morning, Chris Shine.
Good morning, Mutt. It was a wonderful way to wake up for you this morning. Good job by you. Proud of you.
Was a good week, good finish. We'll try to turn the page as we look forward to a beautiful, beautiful week 7 in the NFL. And I say that kind of sarcastically. We have the Bears in primetime against the Patriots. We have Saints in Arizona. We have no Bills on the schedule. We have no Eagles on the schedule. Shime, some of the star power sucked out of week 7. But you know what? We'll find a way to pick some winners this week. I feel confident about that.
Oh, I have no doubt you and I will find a way.
Okay, so that went well last night. I want to get to the MVP market in a second, our normal Tuesday check-in on our Lamar Jackson bets in the NFL. How did things go for, I know the Bruins won, how did things go for the Prince of Pucks on his bets and the Bruins and the little same game or the parlay you gave the people last night on the show?
Yeah, so the Bruins hit the game total over 6.5. They ended up winning, I believe it was 5-3 in the game, so that cashed pretty well. I got a little nervous there because it started and it was a slow start to the game, but it picked up into the second period and into the third period. So I was very happy about that. Unfortunately, the Canes won with ease over the Kraken. 5-1.
Yep.
The Penguins blew a 2-0 lead, ended up losing 3-2 in overtime. So that was a bit devastating, but it is what it is. It happens. Sometimes, it do be like that sometimes. So we'll move on and keep going. I had the right idea. The Penguins just couldn't hold on, and it is what it is.
You got another Prince of Pucks pick tonight, right? Bruins in Ottawa back.
Yes, absolutely.
Weird schedule. Home, go to Ottawa, then come home again later on the week.
Yeah, home for Anaheim on Thursday,
yeah.
Which is going to be an awesome game. So I'm excited. Needless to say, I love the NHL season. I'm having a lot of fun betting it. So
you're off to a good start, too.
Yeah.
And it's not an easy sport to bet. Shime helps us through this thing. So where are we leaning tonight for Bruins and Sens on the back-to-back?
So I'm going to go Bruins on the money line. It's even money, too, which is – I guess it's just because the Senators are at home. Sure. But, like, the Senators are 0-2. They haven't been very good on defense. This Bruins offense is electric, to say the least, right now. Swayman gets a start in net tonight. They're kind of alternating goalies. Omark was awesome last night. Swayman was pretty good in his first start, too. I don't expect that to really change. So I like the Bruins at even money against the Senators. I was considering the Bruins 60-minute line at plus 140, but I'd rather just take the Bruins money line, even money there. I think that's great value. So give me the Bruins money line tonight against the Senators.
It's an easy pick, 7 o'clock. You can watch that and get your money bets there. They're doing a bunch of profit boosts in the great state of New Hampshire if you do bet on DraftKings. If you don't, certainly there are other places to bet, like our friends from FanDuel in Connecticut, SportsBetRI, and here in Massachusetts, of course, unless you want to bet illegally, you are not betting in the Bay State, unfortunately. MVP market this morning. We check in Tuesday mornings on Lamar Jackson futures. Scheinman are both in at about 20 or so to 1. It was down to 4.5 or 5 to 1 in the last couple of weeks. This was not a good week, Scheim, for Lamar Jackson bets. And I give credit to the You Better You Bet show, afternoons in the BetQL network, which I listen to for some points every single day. They made the point, and they're right, that Josh Allen hurdle on that run that he had, the QB keeper, like there's not really
MVP
a Heisman
moment.
And they said if there was a Heisman moment in the NFL,
yep,
that was it. And Allen has gone from 2-1 to +130 as a massive MVP favorite right now heading into week 7. Again, he's off this week, so there's no chance for him to gain or potentially lose any ground. Well, I guess he could gain ground if the other quarterbacks stink around him, although Hurts is also off the schedule this week. Really, really strong showing by him to go on the road, beat Kansas City, outplay Mahomes. We knew this was a potential outcome after week 6 that one of these two, Allen or Mahomes, would be in the driver's seat, and I think the market has it right. Allen at 130 feels right, and he feels like the prohibitive favorite right now to win the MVP.
Yeah, Josh Allen is clearly the absolute favorite to win the MVP. You would have to, at this point, he almost has to get injured or the Bills have to completely fall apart for him to like lose this, I think. He is just, he has been otherworldly. He's the best quarterback in football. He beats the Chiefs, and he looks good doing it too. I mean, I think he became the second quarterback in NFL history, along with Drew Brees, to face a single team 3 times and have over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns with no interceptions.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, Josh Allen has been unbelievable. He's just, he's the best in, he is the best in football. It's that simple.
I agree.
And, and at this rate, I have no doubt. It was the one person that I felt like really could beat Lamar Jackson after the start to the season. I was like, it's really just Josh Allen. That's all we have to worry about. And unfortunately, Josh Allen will probably end up winning the MVP.
It should have been a really good spot for Lamar, but obviously the Bateman injury affected him. He was great with Mark Andrews in that spot, but that pick that he threw, everybody saw there on Sunday afternoon. That's going to hurt him. He'd have to do something pretty spectacular here. And like you said, Josh Allen would have to fall down, have to lose some games. They have a 2-game lead plus the tiebreaker now on Kansas City, so Buffalo is likely to be the number one seed. That's also helping Jalen Hurts, who has leapfrogged here to the second spot. He's 4.5 to 1 in the MVP conversation because his team doesn't lose,
yeah,
Scheim. And that narrative thing of your quarterback doesn't lose, we're seeing with the Patriots. Like, Zappy doesn't lose. People love him. Like, Jalen Hurts doesn't lose. So he's getting buzzed there. He's 4.5 to 1. Mahomes 5 to 1. Lamar down to 8.5 to 1. He's got some primetime games coming up. He's got a Bucks game in primetime that could help him out. But I think the market has this right. And these are the only 4 guys under 16 to 1. You have to go all the way down to Herbert at 16 to 1. It feels like the market's condensed on these 4 guys. 4 quarterbacks on good teams, all stars. Feels like these 4 in some sort of jockeying position for the next, 2/3 of a season in the NFL.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it's going to be at this point. I guess Jalen Hurts could still compete with Josh Allen this year. I don't think it'll happen. But, I mean, if Philly's talking, you know, if you're talking 17-0 with Philly, then it becomes realistic. Outside of that, I just think Josh Allen's going to beat down on Jalen Hurts. But this is the future, and this is kind of that next generation of quarterback. And it's exciting, though. Like, it's really exciting to see the future in front of you with Allen, Hurts, Mahomes, Lamar, all, what, under 27 or 28. Yeah. And then on top of that, Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow are right behind them. Like, 6 legitimately star-studded quarterbacks is really good for the future of the NFL.
As far as the Patriots go, again, you have an extra day to prepare. They don't play until Monday, but the market already reacting to, I guess, the idea that Mac Jones might play. Scheim, it was 7.5 yesterday. It is 8.5 across the board today. And the money and bets are coming in hard in the Patriots. 77% of the bets, 84% of the money has come in on the Patriots. I think that certainly the market's recognizing that they're on a little bit of a roll. Bears are struggling. Mac Jones might come back. We mentioned yesterday that if that started to get out there, the line would go in the Patriots' favor in terms of more of a favoritism, and that happened to the 2.5 point, and that's without any sort of practice or anything. So I think there's potential that this thing gets to 8.5. And would not be shocked as the week goes on here, Scheim, as people recognize they can bet this game, they can tease this game down. Under right now, you can still tease down under 3 points.
Yep.
Get the Patriots basically winning by a field goal, and you can cover this thing. I didn't think it yesterday, but now that I look at it in 0.5 point already, we might be looking at a game that gets to double digits by the time we get to Monday night. I didn't really think that
you
yesterday.
Think so?
Yeah, I think people are going to start especially with the Max stuff. If he ends up being cleared and you get that word before you get to the weekend, a big home favorite, Monday Night Football, terrible Bears offense. I'm not saying it's the play, but I could see it getting to that
point. It's really hard to have a double-digit favorite when the total is 40 points or less. That just feels crazy to me. That it's such a weird spot because the total's so low, and then you're telling me that a team's going to win by double digits. It's just it could happen. I don't necessarily believe that it will. I don't think it gets much higher than 8.5. But I mean, who knows at this point?
Yeah, I just look at the board this week. I mean, they are, I think, either the biggest or second biggest favorite outside of the Bucks, and I can just see everybody wanting to include them as one of their three-team teaser pieces. Like, you get it down under three. Like, that's that. And that moves the market. I'm not saying, again, not saying it's right. I'm not thinking about it. I'm out rushing the window to bet the Bears or bet the Patriots laying 9.5 or 10 by the time we get to Monday. But as I looked at the board today, it's like, well, who else people want to include? They want to get the Bucks. Okay, they get the Bucks down to 4. They can play the Packers, get the Packers to getting a half a point. And they want to get the Patriots down to 2. They can still do that. And that usually tends to more money being bet on the game, that line being moved. So, plus the Mac news, like, I'm just saying I didn't think it yesterday, but I think it's in the range of outcomes today. This thing could get to a pretty massive number by the time we're texting on Monday night there at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I don't think Mac moves the line that much. I don't think he's worth it, to be fair.
But, I agree. You don't, and a lot of people around here don't, but you. The narrative nationally will be, oh, backup quarterback's out, starting quarterback is back. Like, that's just how it works.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean,
we're dumb. What happens to other markets, we do the same exact thing. Like, sure. So I just something to keep an eye on. If you got it 7.5 yesterday, you had the best number. It is 8:40 right now. We'll have plenty of time to break this down this game, including during the game on the BetQL app. Myself and Sean will be chatting in their chat function during the game. They've been doing this with these primetime games with hosts in different markets. Sean and I will be chatting away on Monday night. So what you have to do is download the free BetQL app at the App Store, where you get all your apps, depending on what kind of device you have. And then as we get closer to Monday, Sean, because I will admit I don't actually know where it'll be in there. I think there's a chat thing that just pops up when you log in.
Yep.
I think it's very easy. If we can do it, honestly, anyone can do it. But you have to download it before Monday, and you can have your phone up. You can chat away if you're in a state where they allow live betting. We'll have some live bet ideas. Shy, I'm looking forward to that Monday for Patriots and Bears.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be really exciting. You know, me and you may not be able to live bet from our couches, but for those of them, the people out there that are watching that can live bet from their couches with us, we will have all of the live bet ideas right there for you, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited.
I plan on being hopefully in a state that allows that. We're going to try to figure that out for Monday. It doesn't make sense to sit on my couch and pretend. So I will go to work through some things, certainly for halftime in that game. There'll be some second half bets we can make, I'm sure, on that game. Meanwhile, we have a Celtics opener tonight. Celtics and Sixers. I have a thought on this game in the season, but I want to bring in our buddy Nick Fryer. Formerly worked with us at WEEI. Now he's full-time at DraftKings. Let's talk to Nick Fryer, shall we?
Let's do it.
You hear him laughing, as promised. He is Nick Fryer, formerly our co-host here, co-worker at WEEI and WEEI.com. He's gone big time. And no surprise that pitcher Nick, as Rob Bradford referred to him back in the day, full-time at the good friends at DraftKings, now resident of the great state of New Hampshire, to live free or die. And right before he came on, great moment. Oh, just a great, made my day, where Fryer goes, am I just talking to Mutt, or is Shime involved? He has no idea, Shime, you're a co-host on this podcast.
I just got big-timed by Nick Fryer, mister. I had a 435 batting average against in college or something. So,
Oh my goodness. You know what? That's what you get. You know, I felt bad for a second because, like, oh, maybe Shime's just not doing it the way you guys are talking. I don't know. But no, yeah, that's what you get for being a dink.
Congratulations, by the way, Nick. We're proud that you've made the big move to DraftKings. You and Emerson Lazia taking over the world, my friend.
It's been fun. We got all that good stuff going on over there. A little Emerson, something else. I'll tell you what. I'm happy that I get a little sanity with you two.
We'll try to. We're here to talk Celtics big picture, and since we have you for Celtics opening night, a thought on tonight's game against the Sixers. We'll start with the big picture stuff. I was on the Celtics under. I just felt like they opened that line way too high. I figured that even before the Ime stuff, Nick, they'd try to manage some minutes. They would try to sort of pace things out, and the goal would not be, hey, win 60 games. I've since gone back in on the under a little bit lower. I think I got a 55.5 in the offseason and under 54 when the news broke with Joe Mazzulla taking over with Ime out. Your overall assessment of where they opened that line, and if you had to pick one right now, or maybe you've already invested in it, over under on a Celtics win total and their outlook for this upcoming season.
So right now on DraftKings Sportsbook, it's at 53.5. So you got a great number. For everybody who moved on that number, I'm with Ma on that 100%. I'm still with it at under 53.5. Look, 53-win season is still a very good season. You look at what they did last year, right? 51-31. The Heat obviously led the whole race, 53-29. They have to only lose 28 games for them to go and get the over on this number. As much as I love the addition of Malcolm Brogdon, and I think there's a way you can invest in him on DraftKings Sportsbook this season to back him, I don't see the crazy runs that we got last year, both the good and the bad. I just don't see that happening. This team kind of has figured it out a little bit, and like you said, Mutt, they've been there, so now they're going to know how to manage things a little bit better. They're not going to have to go and make these hard pushes. As much as they may want to be the 2 seed or the 3 seed this year, whatever, I'm sure they don't care about that as much this year because they've proven themselves. They just need to get over that last hump. But I don't see 54 wins in the cards. I just think that's too tough, especially with the Nets also kind of coming back into the mix too, with everybody seemingly healthy and seemingly somewhat drama-free.
And I just want to stop on one point because I want to make this clear. People are going to hear this, right, and think, oh, you think the Celtics are bad this year. I think Nick and I are saying the same thing. They can have a very good year and be very much in contention to win not only the Eastern Conference, but an NBA championship and not win 54 or more games. We agree on
100%.
That, Nick? Okay.
100%. I think when you look at the futures for who's going to win it, I think the Clippers, last I checked, were still the favorites. I still think the Celtics are a worthwhile investment there. I also think the Nets are too. But I think the Celtics are one of the better plays still there because I know you're down Time Lord right now, but you added Malcolm Brogdon to a championship caliber team, and I think he's an absolute stud as a sixth man. So yeah, of course, you can still win 50 games and go under this number and then win the title. I don't see that being it shouldn't be controversial, but whatever.
So you mentioned Time Lord being out here for a while. How do you expect the Celtics to at least start the season here? Do you expect a fast start or a slow start, knowing that they're going to go small, 90% of the time here?
Yeah, I think and this is kind of my larger point. I don't expect there to be these crazy highs and these crazy lows with this team throughout the course of the season. I mean, they have gone the distance. They always talk about how they have, we've been here before and all these different things. Now they really have been there before. They've been the entire way. Obviously, they couldn't finish it off. I don't expect them to go and be as volatile as they have in the past. Time Lord is a huge loss. Obviously, he's protecting you in the paint and everything, and your replacement for that right now is Blake Griffin, which, it could end up working out better than it did for the Nets, but Blake Griffin is not the guy that was jumping over key as a few years ago. So I don't have many – I don't have – great expectations for him, but still, you add Brogdon to the mix. You have a guy in Joe Mazzulla who's familiar with what Ime was doing, has been around for a while, has great familiarity with these guys, and I think is going to do well in this role. I think it's just we're going to see, I'm not saying they're going to be bad. It's kind of a lukewarm take, honestly, Shine, but I just think that they're going to be composed and work through this period without Time Lord and come out on the end of it, still in good standing in the Eastern Conference.
Now, the Gallinari injury obviously has an impact, but Brogdon is going to play, even as a sixth man, like you said, Nick, he's going to play. You mentioned sort of offhand there's ways to invest in Brogdon. Are there season-long player props or Celtic stuff-oriented that you've been talking about, or you are already invested in there at DK?
Malcolm Brogdon is, last I checked, plus 1,100 to be the sixth man of the year. He was in the top five, top six, somewhere in that conversation. I think Hero's the favorite right now. I know Norm Powell's up there as well, and Jordan Poole, although Poole, if he gets smacked in the face one more time, he might not make it through the season. But Malcolm Brogdon is, when they added him, and then I was when that news broke, I was okay, so who'd you give up? It must have been Smart. And then it was Daniel Tice. I was how? How did the Pacers sign off on this ridiculousness? For the Celtics, that's huge. And I am such a believer in having that stud sixth man for your team. I know before my time, when you look at the Celtics of old with McHale and how he did that, and then obviously Bill Walton, you can still be a Hall of Fame team player and come off the bench. As much as everybody's I want to start, I get some of it. Maybe it's hard to be an all-star or whatever. But I think when you look at what Brogdon can do now, he's going to be able to make such a huge impact coming off the bench, where Smart's still going to be running the show. Brogdon can also help out on the defensive end. I think he gives you a ton of versatility. He'll be there at the end of the game, too, in those closing lineups. I just think this guy, you know, his season-long numbers, I think, are going to be strong throughout the course of the year, but his impact, man, is going to be huge. This is going to be a good team. So I love him for sixth man of the year. So,
Shime, I got to follow up on one.
Go for
like,
it.
So how does he – so and just paint me the picture how he beats Jordan Poole. Like, that's my issue. I want to bet on Brogdon, but Jordan Poole just got this contract. They're going to feature him in Golden State. Like, if he goes to the starting lineup, like, does he get taken out of consideration? Because he seems like a really significant favorite to win this thing.
Those two are that is definitely the detractor for both of them, because if you look at the Celtics, Malcolm Brogdon is probably going to be that guy who gets thrown into the mix in for the starting lineup if somebody gets hurt throughout the course of the season. Same deal with Poole. My big counterpoint to Poole, though, is what's going to hurt him most, I think, is going to be Klay Thompson. I'm very bullish on Klay coming into the year. I mean, this is the first time this decade that he's getting to start the regular season healthy. So, to me, I think Poole is going to have to make some adjustments, too, because you still have Wiggins, who's a huge part of the mix. And, look, as much as the Celtics, like, they've had their own messes off the court and everything, the Warriors have, too. And I don't, and it's a little bit different to me where, like, okay, you took the Celtics problem and you took that problem and plucked it out of the equation, at least for now. Then you look at the Warriors. I don't know. I don't trust Draymond. Like, I as much as, you know, he's done a lot and he's a winner and everything like that and a guy you want on your team, I don't trust that there's not going to be continued issues with this team. I know Kevin Durant's a diva, but I mean, look at what happened in that situation. So I think you have a lot of factors there that go against Poole, where I'd rather go down a little bit and get some better odds at a guy who I think is a really, really good player in this league.
So, Fryer, do you think it's worth anybody's time at all to take a look at the MVP race? You look at Jason Tatum, 14-1. Eddie House said yesterday that he thinks Jaylen Brown could be a top five finisher for the MVP. He's 140-1. Is there any value in like either of these guys if you're looking at an MVP bet?
Man, I love Eddie House, and I wish we could turn back the clock and have Eddie House on the floor for the Celtics night in and night out because he was so good off the bench. But good Lord, I thought he was a good analyst, but I missed that. He thinks that Jaylen Brown is going to be top five
in the MVP race.
Yep. Oh, my goodness. No way. The only guy you do that with is Jason Tatum. I still think that is a pretty significant reach. I think, you know, who is I looking at? Oh, Embiid's the guy that I'm on right now. Look, I know that James Harden, you know, can go and throw things off, but I think having that second star is going to help stabilize him throughout the course of the season, especially a guy who I think knows his role, is still going to be more passive like Simmons, but not going to get in the way like Simmons did for Embiid previously. But no, like I think Tatum could still be, you know, first team All-NBA, possibly second team. Like, he's going to be in that mix. I do think it's going to be clapback season for Jaylen Brown. I do firmly believe that. I think his points prop for opening night is interesting. It was at 22.5 last I checked. I do think the over on that is worthwhile. But, no, MVP, good Lord, Eddie, come on.
Yeah, it's a weird MVP year, at least for me, because I think the favorites are really likely. You mentioned Luka is like just over 4-1. Giannis is 6-1. Embiid, 6.5-1. If he stays healthy, I'm with you. He'd be in that mix. Durant, his clapback season there in Brooklyn, if they go on it, the narrative there for him to win. There's no way Jokic is going to win again. He's a freak. Just take him out of the mix. He's like, he pays for the juice here on this. He's not going to win it again at 9-1. I don't think Steph Curry at 12-1. And then Tatum. Like Tatum, Ja Morant, sort of in that 14-15 mix. I'm with you. I'd be leaning towards one of the guys up there, and Embiid at 6-1 is really interesting. Any lean? You mentioned Mazzulla. Like as a coach, is he willing to sort of get out of the way and give Tatum the ball? Because I do wonder if there's a chance that Tatum's in the scoring chase this year. Not for the MVP, but is Mazzulla? Do we know Fryer? Is he more of a guy like, hey, we're going to let you sort of be our guy. And Jaylen Brown, yes, you're very good, but it's not a 1-1A. It's a legit 1-2, and Tatum's going to be our guy, potentially scoring close to 30 points per game.
You know, that's an interesting point, Mutt, because on the one hand, I could make the case where, yeah, I think Jason Tatum's going to come out. As much as clapback season for Jaylen Brown, I do think Jason Tatum's coming off. Obviously, he's coming off a frustrating end to his year, and he's going to want to show everybody, like, hey, it's not a fluke that we got there. I am still very much, you know, the all-NBA talent that I said I was and that I got voted to be by the end of the year. I'm not, you know, James Harden and can't do it in the postseason. But at the same time, I think that there's also you've added a level of maturity now, one would think, after getting that far in the postseason, getting to the promised land and just missing out, where you'd see the development over the course of the season as being a little more promising. I'm not going to say that that wouldn't be a worthwhile bet, but I'm definitely not going to be leaning towards the Celtics to winning the scoring title this year. What I thought you were actually going to go with was Coach of the Year, because I do think Mazzulla is an interesting case there, because he's at fourth in the odds right now at plus 1,200, at least last I checked. I know it was the Taylor Jenkins and Chris Finch, I believe, were the favorites.
Yeah,
he's the third now.
Yeah, he's third behind Jenkins and Finch.
Okay, yeah.
That's interesting.
Right, so there you go.
Again, the idea, Nick, like narrative, first-year coach, they do win 50-plus games, second in the Eastern Conference, and the narrative is, wow, what a job by Mazzulla thrown into it. They still were good. He's the Coach of the Year. Huh.
100%, yeah. Because he comes in with all this mess, and everybody's doubting them at the beginning of the year. You have people who say they were good already, inherited a good team, but this could easily go sideways, and there are going to be people who think that. If they do come back and win 50 games again, even if it's like 48, that he could still be in that conversation.
How about tonight? This thing opened at 4. It's down to 2.5. And boy, the money has come in. Look at this morning, Nick, on the Sixers. 69% of the bets and 84% of the money is on the Sixers plus the points, which is why we've gone from 4 down to 2.5. Celtics home favorite tonight to open the season. Paul Pierce Instagramming out pictures. He'll be in the building. Any lean on the game, the spread tonight, or the total for Sixers and Celtics opening night?
The total is where I'm looking at right now. I've been looking at those numbers because some stuff really jumped out to me. So right now, as I'm looking, I believe it's at 216.5, which I think is the highest that this total has gotten so far. I think it opened up like months back at like 213.5, but it was really around that 214 range, and that's where it was yesterday. You talk about the movement, man. I've been blown away by this. So it's getting 65% of the bets for the over. But then when you look at the handle, okay, while the under is getting only 35% of the bets, 46% of the handle is going towards the under. So I love that, and I love the sharps are in on this one right now. And the way this has been trending, it was going down for so long, even though fewer bets were going towards the under. We just saw this spike recently, so I think that's a little surprising. When I see that kind of movement jump out, I'm thinking, okay, we're like the sharps are on this side of it. We see the percentage growing and everything too. Even when the number was so far down at 215, going towards the under, I'm all in on the under tonight. That is my favorite play, and I think now you get it 216.5. I mean that I think that's the best number you're going to get.
You mentioned you're in on Jaylen Brown's player scoring prop tonight. Is there any other player props in particular that you love in this game?
No, he was really the only one I do. I will say, though, I find it interesting that Jason Tatum was only at 23.5. I mean, we saw him, we talk about scoring titles. We saw him lighten it up left and right last year. Again, I mean, I like the under in this one, so you're not going to see all the stars necessarily go and show up. I would have been looking for some Brogdon numbers, but we're not getting anything there on DraftKings Sportsbook. But, no, I like Brown. I think this is a chance for him to respond. He's been, the last time we saw this guy have somewhat of a frustrating end or a frustrating season, we saw him bounce back really strong and take that next step. I think he's going to do that this year, and I think that starts tonight against the Sixers.
Any other NBA bets you want to hand out to the people that you've talked about on DK that you think are things you've already played or you're going to play here before tip-off tonight, Nick?
I know that a lot of the plays that I'm talking about are very Celtics heavy, and I don't like doing that, generally speaking. But if there is one other play that's not Celtics related, I think when you look at the NBA Rookie of the Year, you have like that's obviously a complicated conversation, just because guys can get hurt. But then you also have anytime it's awards, you have to take into account, the voting, right? We have to see how are the people going to feel about, how is the media going to feel about certain guys, and how much are they going to pay attention to those guys for the course of the year. So Paolo Banchero was the favorite last I checked at plus 200 to go and win it. He's
huge
in Orlando.
Favorite.
He's going to
huge favorite.
What? Yeah, huge
He's a
favorite.
Huge favorite. Plus 180. Yeah.
Plus 180 now. Jeez. Yeah. So I understand that one. He's going to get the minutes. He's going to get opportunities. At the same time, I think that you're in Orlando and people are going to become irrelevant very easily. People just why is anybody going to be looking at them throughout the course of the year? So I think Jaden Ivey is an interesting case in Detroit. Again, last I checked, it was plus 450. Correct me if the odds have changed on DraftKings.
Much higher, plus 850 right now.
Plus 850 on Jaden Ivey?
Yeah.
Yes. Wow, that so I mean, look, I think the kid's a bucket, and this I may be a little more bullish on than most on the Pistons. I'm not going to go and say they're studs right now. This is a bona fide playoff team, but they're a young team that's on the rise. They have quite a bit of talent. They got some momentum last year when Cade Cunningham got into the mix. Sadiq Bey, I think, took some huge strides last year, and I think if they're going to contend for a playoff spot, which I do think they can contend for it. Jaden Ivey's going to be part of that, and he's going to score points. So I think when you look at the mix here, he's one of those guys where, you know, the bottom of the barrel at Eastern Conference, or the bottom of the playoff teams, I should say, it gets up for grabs, and I think he can play a part in that and then steal some votes.
Excellent stuff, Nick. I'm glad you joined me here on my podcast. I'm the solo host of this podcast. No one else is here. I'm glad you joined me on my podcast. Look forward to all your NBA bets. So what's your content schedule going to be? I know you hopped on in a bunch of streams last year. Like, where can people find you during the year, during the NBA season, Nick?
Well, the Sweat streams every weekday at 11, which I know that is also the same time as Gresham Keefe, my guys over there. I miss you over on that show. I miss you being on that show.
I appreciate you, Nick.
But we're always 11 to 12 on weekdays. And then as far as writing, there's a lot in flux right now. So I will be doing best bets throughout the course of the season. So you can follow me at Nick_Fryer on Twitter for all that stuff. And that'll be easy for you to get there when it's available.
Awesome stuff. Shyam, anything for the guy who didn't know you were the co-host on the show, buddy?
No, Fryer, I'm glad we had John, bud. Missed talking to you, so I was glad we were able to get some Celtics in before the season started here. Make sure to check out Fryer anywhere you can find him.
Nick, good stuff, buddy. We'll watch on the Sweat here in a little bit, and we'll talk during the season. Thank you for hopping on for a few.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
There he is, Nick Fryer from DraftKings, DK Nation, joining me on my podcast, the Mike Menansky Gambling Show, featuring Mike Menansky only. Wow.
What a shot.
First, the higher-ups don't know you're the co-host of a football podcast, and not that.
Hey, man. Just out here. You know, I'm just out here grinding, doing the thing.
Fryer's good, man. He's into it. He's tweeting a lot now at Nick_Fryer, and he's smart. We could ask some baseball stuff, too, but I want to focus on the NBA. He covers the baseball stuff as well. For our friends at DK, we'll get the ALDS wraps up today with the Yankees and Guardians, NLCS Game 1, and then we'll have both games. That's a little doubleheader tomorrow, ALCS Game 1 and NLCS Game 2. Anything else to people, Chris Scheim, on this Tuesday as we close in on more baseball playoffs, your hockey bets tonight, NBA kicks off. Good time. Good time to be involved, buddy. Let's go.
This is the perfect time to be gambling. We flew by it, so I didn't get to hand it out. I did have one other superfluous NHL bet for tonight. A little parlay for you again. Oilers and Predators tonight. Put those two together, +130. You're welcome.
Was it Oilers and Predators?
Yep, Oilers and Predators, straight up on the money line, baby. Nothing crazy, nothing difficult. Just on the money line, +130 on the parlay.
Subscribe, rate, and review where you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the Odyssey app. And download the BetQL app. Not only great gambling information there, sports betting information, but, Shyam and I will be chatting during Bears and Patriots 6 days from now. Shyam, enjoy your Tuesday. We'll have plenty to talk about tomorrow morning as we get closer and closer to Patriots-Bears. We'll talk then, buddy. Thank you.
Can't wait. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
There's searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.